Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore, bringing you online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we're sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. So we want to welcome you to our Wednesday morning edition as we continue our lesson on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but as a subtitle, we're dealing with this week, the gifts of the Spirit. So we begun yesterday continuing speaking along the line about the importance of the gifts of the Spirit, and one of the, for these gifts to really function at the most ultimate result, you need to be filled with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we begun yesterday in sharing with you that how Jesus told the disciples not to leave this upper room until they received the promise of the Father. And the purpose of that is because if John 14, 12, Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these. And so if we were going to do the greater works of Jesus, then one needs to be filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And again, the purpose of the tongue is to do what it is. It's the same purpose that would be as a starter or generator to a battery. And what it does, it replenishes while the battery is actually functioning. For us to use the vehicle, whether we're driving, whether we're using the air, whether we're using the radio, whatever that is that we device that we have connected, there is an alternator that is generating, keeping that battery generated or rejuvenated so that you can continue to enjoy the privileges that automobile gives to you and I. And it's the same thing here. And, you know, when you pray in other tongues, notice what it's doing. It's generating that spirit of your soul is being generated by the power of the Holy Spirit to be renewed, to be strengthened, so that you and I will not fall in the same place like the disciples did. They were anointed by God to cast out devils, to heal the sick. But then at the same time, because, again, if your mind is not renewed with the Word of God, then when a situation arises that you have already dealt with before, you've already ministered to before, it can put you in a place of unbelief. And the reason is why? Because your mind has not been renewed with the Word of God. Well, that's like taking a new battery. You can put a new battery in a vehicle, it'll crank, it'll turn that vehicle over, and it will run for hours. But if that battery is not being recharged, when you try to get back in it, you'll drain all the life out of it, and guess what? You say, man, what's wrong with this battery? Well, it's not, the generator is not working, or the alternator is not working to the place whereas it is restoring life to that battery. It's rejuvenating that battery so that every time you kick it on and whatnot, it has enough power to do what? To start that vehicle. Well, the Holy Spirit is like that alternator, that generator. It is charging your battery, which will be the soulish part of you, to do what? To enlighten you, to strengthen you, to empower you, to do what? To do the things that you would not be able to do in yourself. And so here, we look here that, and I'm just speaking to you from at this moment, that what I'm just saying, that you can go to Matthew chapter 17 and you look at verses 14 through 23, and you'll see how the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, he said, Lord, you know, why could not we cast him out? So you see, to ask that question is an indication to reveal that they have already done this before. But Jesus' reply to them was, it was because of your unbelief. And so when we think about unbelief, your unbelief is coming from the hardness of heart. You know, what will cause the hardness of heart? That means you stop being sensitive to the things that you were accustomed of doing. In other words, they're not as, you're not as yielding to them. You don't give as much time to them. And all of a sudden you become hardened or you become distant. You know, can give you maybe a physical illustration like running, if you like running, or if you like walking. And let's just say you've been accustomed to walking 3 miles a day, you know, and if you walk in 3 miles, if you walk 3 miles a day, you know, that may take you, I don't know, it may take you a little bit over an hour to do that. But if you stop walking 3 miles a day and then you know, for about 6 months, you go back and start trying to walk 3 miles, you know, you're going to struggle at walking 3 miles. You may only get about a mile. Why? Because you stop doing the things that your muscles was accustomed of. You had the endurance to do it, and now it's not there. But what you can do, you can build it up through what? Consistency. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit helps you and I. It empowers us. It infuses us to do what? To get back in there and do the things that gave us light before. And so it's not God that we, that is withholding from us. It would be our own hardness of heart. As the scripture will say, that's what Jesus used. He said, it's the hardness of your heart, meaning this, because they did not remember the miracles of the loaves. And so when you put all this in perspective, again, once you start functioning in these gifts, these operations that God has given unto us through the new birth, then you're going to have to make a consecrated decision that you will be what? You will be a participant, a partaker of his goods all the time, so that you won't shrink back, so that your heart won't become hardened, or so that you will not become cold or indifferent. Why? Because again, the soulish part of us has to be renewed all the time. Your mind has to be renewed with the word of God all the time. And so that alternator generator would be the one that's replenishing, which would be the battery. Your mind would be that type of battery to that it needs to be regenerated all the time, replenished all the time. So when you get in that, it'll fire up. Well, when you pray in other tongues, that's what it does. It's firing up the engine of your thought life. Excuse me. It is empowering you in position to do what? When you see the sick, you minister to them. Or you just simply living out the life that God has already provided for you through the new birth. And so let's just look at this a little bit through the scripture right here. Because I believe that if we don't explain these manifestations of the spirit of 1 Corinthians 14, because I believe that when God gave this to the Apostle Paul, to the church of Corinth, you know, again, and we can start with the Apostle Paul in Acts 9, that how his ministry didn't start without being filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' ministry didn't start without being filled with the power of the Spirit from on high. None of the disciples' ministry started. And I think I showed you that Monday, that how Jesus told them, you stay here until you receive this promise of the Father. And then in Acts 2, they began to speak with other tongues and they went out ministering. And I'll go back to that in just a moment. But let's go back. Let's go look over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And notice this. In verse 1, Paul said here, and I'm reading out the Classic Amplified Bible. He said, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. He said, make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowment gifts, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. So when we look at this verse of scripture right here, it has a little bit of everything in there. But let the scripture explain itself. Notice this in verse 2. He said, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto men, but unto God. So that's the first thing that you have to recognize. Because again, praying in the spirit is something that most of our leaders have just put aside. And I'm just here to tell you, many Christian lives that we shrink back, we dry up, not, you know, in your spirit, but in your soul, in the desire, the thing that fire that you had on the inside to do what? To live for him, or to allow his life to live through you. And what happens is, excuse me, once your heart become hardened, and hardened again, meaning this, that means you're not yielding to the word like you once did. You're not praying in the spirit like you once did. You're not attending to a Bible study or an online Bible school like you often did. So what happens is, it's like one of the parables of the ground, is that our heart can become hardened because we allow the world to come back in. And what it did, it began to fill that place in our thought life that we had given over to the word of God, to the life of God. And so it's hard for you and I, and that's why the scripture talks about renewing the mind. Why? Because it's hard for us to keep our thoughts, live out our life, and then try to live the life of Christ that's in us. No, it has to be one or the other. And the reason why I say that is because, as the Bible said in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, the life that I now live, and this is the second half of that verse of scripture, he said, the life that I now live, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So once you connect to that divine life that's on the inside of you, then guess what? Now that's all your meditation. As you live life during the day, what are you doing? You're interacting to the place that you are drawing life from him. You're allowing the life of Christ that's in your born-again spirit to do what? To energize, to synergize the soulish part of you. Because you see, the fight is not in your spirit. The fight is in your thought. The fight is in your mind. It's in your will. It's in your emotion. And so if you want the word of God to bring forth healing to your body, maybe even to a mental condition, or whatever the nature of the case may be, that word has to be able, the life of Christ has to filter through the soul. And this is why it's so important that when you pray in other tongues, what it does, it takes your mind, your natural mind out. It takes your weariness, your worry out. Why? Because it has to listen to what your mouth is saying. Now, it may not make sense. It's not supposed to make sense. What it's doing is it's putting you in a position that you are able to do what? You are able to shut off your natural mind. And what is it doing? When you are praying in the spirit, it's giving you the mind of Christ. You already have the mind of Christ, but this Holy Ghost is presenting to you the way you should go. When we say the mind of Christ, it's like he's presenting you the way to go. He's presenting you the stand to take. And you say, well, how do I know that? Well, through the word. Because you see, the more you, let's just give you an example. Again, if you're dealing with a crisis in your physical body, then, you know, we know that the Bible said that in Exodus 15, I think it's 26 or verse 23 said, I will bless your bread and your water. Now, this is an old covenant promise, and it still belongs to it. But I love this verse of scripture so much because it talks about that. He said, I'll bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now, the word take and the word away in the Hebrew, they mean the same thing. It means to turn off. So that means your body, my body, as far as we know through the atonement of Jesus Christ, all sickness, all disease has been turned off from us. So therefore, when I'm praying in the spirit, and all of a sudden my body is up under an attack or an assault, then I don't have to pray to get this off. Why? Because he has already given me his word, his promise that I've turned sickness and disease off from away from you. So if he turned it off from away from me, then what is he giving me? I'm praying in the spirit to strengthen my inner man, which would be my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotion. I'm strengthening my inner man to do what? To say, this sickness, whatever it is in my body, you call it whatever it is, and you say, I rebuke you. I curse you in the name of Jesus. And I command life to be in that part of my body. I command every cell in my body to respond to the life of the word of God that Jesus has already ratified for me in his death, his burial, in his resurrection. See, now what is taking place? And then you'll say, Lord, I thank you. By his stripes, I am healed. See, once you have understanding that, what it do? When I pray in other tongues, it sets my inner man to do what? To draw the life out from it. So when I'm praying in tongues, what does it do? Again, my mind is unfruitful, right? Meaning my natural intellect is unfruitful. But notice this, it is making me aware of that I am sensitive enough that whereas I can hear the scripture, I can meditate on the scripture, because that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. What is he doing? Jesus said, the Father will take that which is mine. That's John 16, 13 through 15. He will take that which is mine and show them unto you. So what is he doing? If I'm under assault, if I'm under attack, then he's going to take what Jesus already did, and he's going, as I pray in other tongues, he's revealing it to me. What does he reveal? He's revealing the truth that I've already embraced. See, the Holy Spirit is taking that which belongs to the Father or to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's speaking to you and I in the light of the word, in light of the promise. And that's what give us that confidence. That's what put us in place to say, I got it. I don't feel it. There's no evidence in the natural. But all my evidence is where? It's in the word of God. I'm drawing. And so when I pray in other tongues, I'm being strengthened in the soulish part of me to do it so that I won't waver. So I won't allow unbelief to get in and overcome. Because why? If I allow unbelief to get in, what it want to do? It wants to clobber my belief. It wants to clobber my faith. And so unbelief, as a scripture, it's not a scripture, but it's a word that God gave to me. I don't know how long, it's been a while, but I put it on my wall, and it says, talks about don't allow unbelief to come in, because it's a cheater. It's a robber of your faith. And so the next part of it says, I've already given you the victory. I've already made you victorious. So do what? Rise up, or rise above it. And so rise above what? Rise above anything that wants to cause unbelief. Why? Because it's a robber of my faith. And that's why the disciples asked, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus told them, because of your what? Unbelief. And he said, if you had faith as a seed, you would have said. So the seed would be the word of God. So the faith was what? Was to trust and the reliability that they had on him. They relied upon the word he gave them, but somewhere down the line, they stopped trusting. They stopped relying upon that word. They allowed their natural senses to do what? To kick back in, and then all of a sudden, that young boy was still suffering with that spirit of epileth until Jesus come along. And so what I'm saying to you, this can happen to any of us if you are not keeping yourself built up, charged up, praying in the spirit. Don't let no one look down upon you or play down and say, well, we don't pray in the spirit. We don't do that here. We don't do that no more. That was for the early church. I'm just telling you, then look at the early church and look at us today. The early church, yes, they had persecution. It's going to always be persecution in the church. But we are not moved by the physical persecution because why? It's the life that's in us that energizes us. And it is moving us forward right in the midst of every trial, every persecution. Why? Because no evil shall befall me, nor any plague come nigh my dwelling. So it doesn't make a difference what's in the world. It can't attach itself to me. And that's the attitude that you and I must have. But you're not going to have that kind of attitude. You're not going to have that type of boldness until you give yourself over in praying in these divine secrets. So notice this. It says, for the one that speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto men, but he speaks unto God. For no one understands or catches his meaning because the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truth and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. So the hidden thing that is being hidden is not hidden from you. It is hidden for you. And so as you begin to pray in the spirit, as you begin to allow the Holy Spirit, what is he doing? He's revealing to you. Remember Jesus said in John 14:12, the works that I do shall you also do, and greater works indeed. So he's revealing in you, strengthening your inner man so that you and I will not quit. So you and I will not look at, you know, a person that's dead and say, well, that's nothing. Yes, we can do something about it. Or we see someone with an amputated arm or amputated foot or missing limb. See, we don't see these type of miracles take place. See, the gifts of the Spirit will function through you and I more fluently than it did through the Elisha and Moses and Joshua, because the Spirit of God came up on them to do an act. But notice this, we have the fullness of the Spirit inside of us. We have the fullness of the gift. We have the fullness of the power of God living through us because it's Christ in us. They didn't have it in them. They had the power of God to come up on them to perform. We have the power of God that's on us, is working through us, and is with us all the time. And so as a son and a daughter of God, you are releasing these divine energies all the time, whereas they could not do that. That's the difference. Because why? We have the Son, the Spirit of the Son living inside of us. And so notice this. So, and if you notice here at as we keep going down here, let's look down here. Well, let's just go to straight word for word, scripture for scripture. Look at verse 3. He said, but on the other hand, the one who prophesies, who interprets the divine will and purpose in an inspired preaching and teaching, speak to men for their upbuilding or constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. See, look at it again. But on the other hand, the one who prophesies, who interprets the divine will and purpose and inspired preaching. See, this can be a little bit confusing right here. And the reason why it could be a little bit confusing right here Because many have taken it and said that, see, Paul said he'd rather that we prophesy than we pray in tongue. Well, it is. In a service, absolutely. But just like me, it's better for me to speak to you with understanding than to be speaking to you praying in my prayer language and you not understanding anything at all. Now, there is what we call your prayer language, which is what I'm talking about in verse 14:2 of 1 Corinthians. That's your prayer language. So when Paul said, you know, he who speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks unto men, not unto men, but he speaks unto God. For no one catches his meaning, because why? The Holy Spirit, he utters. He utters. See, the Holy Spirit uttering what? A word. Joy is uttering strength. You could be down. You could be, you know, feeling low about something. When you start praying in another tongue, all of a sudden you're energized. You could be at the brink of losing a business, at the brink of losing whatever it may be. And then all of a sudden you start praying in the spirit and this joy comes springing up. Why? Because what are you doing? You're releasing the life of God in that lifeless situation. And once you do that, then you become energized. You become more expecting of seeing the hand of God move in there. And then what it does, it opens you up to hear, and the Lord would speak a word to you, you know, stand. Having done all, stand in this. In other words, if he's telling you to stand, that means I got this. But he needs you. He needs your physical body. He needs your presence. He needs your mouthpiece to do what? To vocalize what he has revealed to you in your spirit. And when you make the stand and when you release words of faith, then all of a sudden, the affirmation that has gone out, it begins to do what? Bring together the thing that God has revealed to you. But notice it, faith is voice activated. And that's the reason why he has to have your mouth. He has to have your hand. He has to have your body to do what? To release what you have, what has been revealed into your spirit while you were praying in another tongue. You saw something. You picked up on something. Are you getting what I'm saying here? But then in verse 3, when he said, but on the other hand, it says, the one who prophesies, the one who interprets the divine will. So interprets the divine will, meaning there is a tongue that comes forth in a worship. Okay? So this tongue that is called the gift of tongues. The gift of tongue and being filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is two different tongues. The tongue that I talked to you about in verse 2 is my prayer language, is my way of worshiping God, is my way of being re-energized. Again, just think of what an alternator is to a battery. That alternator does what? It charges that battery. Why is being used? Well, the Holy Spirit is charging the soul of your mind, your spirit of your mind, while you are using or walking in the light of the truth of God's word. See, what it's doing, it's keeping you energized. It's replenishing so that you can stay the course. It's kind of like with natural food to your body. The natural food to your physical body, that food that you eat, it keep energizing you, nurturing you so that you can continue on till the task is finished. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is ministering to the soul. It's nourishing, keeping your mind renewed with the word of God, keeping you focused on the promise, on the goal that God has revealed in your spirit, and keeping you moving forward until the assignment has been completed. Because why? You are dealing with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that don't want you to complete the will of God, that don't want you to live out the word of God. And so you got to know that the enemy that you have that's reckoning at your soul, it is to bring utter destruction. It is to cause you and I to stop abruptly and run us away. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? But so when you have that prayer language and you begin, I mean, you could do this while you're driving down the highway. You can do this when you're waking in the morning. You should do this, you know, in your prayer time or whatnot. You know, what do you know? You're building yourself up. You're strengthening your inner man. You're not taking sides with your feelings. You're not taking sides with your emotion, but you're allowing the word of God to do what? To bring forth his will so that you can walk this thing out. And then again, when he talks about in verse 3, he's speaking to the place of whereas the gift of tongues can be in place, whereas in a worship service. And that's part of a worship that not all the time, but sometimes people will come out and they will speak out with a tongue out of, you know, at that moment. The word of God, the spirit of God is releasing a prophecy in there. That prophecy is going to be contained of three things. Again, it's going to bring forth comfort. It's going to bring forth consolation. And it's going to edify. And notice what Paul said here. He said, but on the other hand, the one who prophesies, you can prophesy with the gift of tongue or without the gift of tongue. And prophesy can also come through the preaching and teaching of the word. I've seen myself do that many times. Okay? So there's just not a set way to allow these gifts to function as long as there's an understanding in the group that you're teaching or the place of worship that has understanding. So there has to be someone there to judge these gifts when they're in operation. Okay? Notice this. So in verse 4, he said, but he who speaks in a strange tongue, you see, he edifies and he improves himself. But he who prophesies, interpreting the divine will and purpose, he's teaching with inspiration, edified. See, that's one of the things when a person prophesies. He's edifying, improve the church, and notice this, and promote growth in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness. Again, man, just at the turn of the 80s, you know, is when I acknowledged my, you know, being born again. You know, I believe I prayed the prayer of salvation, excuse me, many times, but I didn't know what it was I was doing in 78 or 79 or even 80, you know. But when I finally understood what was taking place, man, and all of a sudden, this divine life entered in my body and my spirit was changed. And then I got filled with the baptism in the Holy Spirit of the same Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, man, it just really took off in a different light. All of a sudden, now I was now seeing beyond the natural. What my natural eyes can see, I would now be able to look up and see beyond the natural limitation and seeing the unlimited supply of everything that God had. This is what gives us that boldness. This is what strengthens us. Why? Because you're looking beyond the natural limitation. You're looking beyond the natural habitation of where you are. And that's what this natural mind is meant to do. It is meant to do what? To keep you and I looking and feeling in this natural realm, feeling the physical limitation in this natural realm. Why? Because if it keep you there, then it will be hardened. It will be hard for you to conceive these spiritual truths. And that's the reason why when you pray in another tongue, when you hear something that is of the word, you say, man, I don't quite understand all that. But when you start praying in the spirit, and this is what we did in the very early 80s, it was like, man, I need a place. I know for me, I was looking for a church that, you know, that had the gifts of the spirit that would allow the Holy Ghost to flow however it chooses. And it was like, it was one of the most phenomenal things that you could ever think of. Now, did we have a little fanaticism in it? Yes. But, you know, I didn't know all that I knew then. But I still, as Brother Hagin used to once say, I would rather wildfire than have no fire at all. Because this is where we're getting to the place, we're getting back to that place in ministry that we have little to no fire in the pulpit, little to no fire in the church itself. Why? Because we're afraid to allow these gifts to function. Number two, we're not teaching on them like we used to. And we don't believe in them like we used to. And I'm just saying, the enemy rage is increasing in the atmosphere. And the only reason why it's increasing is because we who have this power, this ability at our hand, we refuse to allow the Spirit of God to give unto us what is needed so that we can do what? Walk in the dominion that Jesus has already made unto us. Walk in the authority that we already possess on the inside of us. But if I'm not filled with this spirit, filled with this power, then guess what? I'm going to be timid. I'm going to think secondly. I'm going to say, well, you know, I don't think I could do that. In yourself, you can't. Excuse me. In yourself, no, you can't. But in him, you can. And that's the difference. It's not you doing it. It's his life in you, you allowing to come forth. Because remember, you've already died to yourself. So the life that I now live in the flesh, I'm living how? By the faith of the Son of God. Excuse me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what you're releasing. But you see, this power on the inside, as Paul said right here, and I'm going to close right here, but notice what he said right here again. But he who speaks in a strange tongue, notice what he does. He edifies himself. He improves himself. But he who prophesies, notice this, interpreting the divine will and purpose and teaching with inspiration, what he does, he edifies, he improves the church. So there's two things we see here. If I pray in tongues for myself, what am I doing? It's building me up, right? But if I prophesy, you know, in church or whatnot, then everyone benefits from it. Now, let me say this before I close, and we'll pick it up again tomorrow right here. You can pray in your own prayer language by praying in other tongues. And you can trust the Holy Spirit to give you the interpretation of it. So you can pray to interpret because why? That's what happens. So when you say he that prays in an unknown tongue, notice that he prays under God and no man understand his meaning, but the Holy Spirit utters secret truth. So if he utters secret truth, that means I can also pray when I'm praying in the Spirit. Well, guess what? I can wait. I can look for understanding. I can look for the interpretation. And then all of a sudden, you have one of those aha moments. You'll say, oh, wow, yeah, I see that. Wow. All while you're praying. Or maybe while you're walking, while you're working. Or maybe you're just doing something physical that has no spiritual access to what you're doing and whatnot. And all of a sudden, you just, boom, you see something that you didn't see. You know something that you didn't know. Why? Because that's what praying in the Spirit does. It's not something God keeping from you. It's edifying you. It's building you up. It's strengthening you on the inside. Just like if you take a natural barbell, you know, to work your chest, barbell, dumbbell, to work your arm or whatever. What are you doing? You're not building the inside up spiritually. You're building this physical core, and it's strengthening your immune system and everything else so that you are able to do what? To live life in this realm strong. But for me to say I'm lifting weights for my soul, for my inner man, it has no effect. It only have an effect upon this outer man. Mentally speaking, I have to pray in the spirit. I have to read the word. I have to be able to do what? To discern these truths. And when I be able to discern the truth, this is what kick out doubt. This is what kick out unbelief. This is what strengthened me to do what? To replace my doubts, my fear, with the truth of God's word, and I hold fast to that truth. And I don't let doubt come back in that matter. I don't let fear come back to me again in that matter. Why? The door is shut to it. See, what I did, I changed my mind to the way I thought, to the way I felt. And so what I do, I open myself up, I open this door. This is what, you know, the word that we've been teaching on since December of last year, you know, awaken to righteousness, which equals an open door, equals the appointed time. So if I pray in the spirit, what is it doing? It's giving me an open door to the mindset of the Father. And at the appointed time, I'm able to walk in whatever there is that he has for me. Not what I has for myself. It's not my plan. It's his plan. The open door is for me to walk in that which he's already designated. Me praying in the spirit is to make sure that I ward off anything that's trying to attach itself to me, spiritually speaking, that want me to go this way or wanting me to go that way. No. Just remember, in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "Nevertheless, I am crucified. Nevertheless, not I that live, yet not I." See, not I, not me, but Christ in me. See? And this is what this is all about. This is what praying in tongues is for me to allow Christ in me, or the anointed of the anointed one in me, to do what? To live. And he said, "The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Well, if that's going to happen, notice this. That's the purpose of praying in other tongues, because an unrenewed mindset will not allow you and I to think in the light of these spiritual truths and do them. There's a fight. And the fight is not with people. The fight is with principality. The fight is with the powers of the air and wicked rulers in high places. So the only way that we're able to walk in the spirit and maintain the integrity that God has called us to is that, hey, we need this power. We need to be strengthened so that when we encounter something, we won't cower back. We won't shrink back. We'll say, "No, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. Come out, move, stand down, whatever." Why? Because you have this life on the inside. It's radiant on the inside of you. And guess what? Nothing is going to be able to stop you from moving forward. I hope that this, you know, I know that some of this may be a little bit strange to you, because again, so much of this teaching has been stopped. You know, and it may sound a little strange to you, but if you go back and look at this, and you go back and look at the search of scriptures itself, and you'll see that your prayer language and the gift of tongues are two different tongues. And sometimes people get them mixed up and say, you know, Paul said, "You rather prophesy." Well, yeah, but because you is needful, but I can speak in the gift of tongues, and I can also interpret that tongue if the gift of tongue come forth from me. The Bible said, "Pray that you interpret." But then there's not only just me, but there will be at least two or three other witnesses that will testify by the Spirit of God saying the same thing that came forth with the gift of tongue. And again, what is it for? It's to edify. It's to exhort the body. It's to keep the body spiritually strengthened so that you don't shrink back. because you have come to church with crazy thoughts. You have come to church weighted down, and it'll make it appear to whereas, what's the use? And that's what those gifts are for. It's to edify, it's to keep you and I coming in a place of unity of the faith. And you can't walk in the unity of that faith without all of us understanding that we are one body, which is the body of Christ, but we are many members. And without you doing your part, I'm incomplete. Without you doing your part, I'm incomplete. So you see, we have to have each other. So whatever God put in you, called you to, you have to recognize that, hey, this is my part. And you keep doing your part, and then maybe I catch up and doing my part, and then guess what we're doing? Now we're complete, we're making a whole. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's the, one of the best ways that I can explain it to you at this moment. And again, I believe by faith we'll dive into this tomorrow or Friday, and we'll continue this lesson. And I'm going to stay with this until you have better understanding. And if there's any questions you have about, you know, praying in the Spirit, what's the benefit, what's the purpose of it, whatnot, hey, put it up there, and I will stop, and I will address it right there on the air if you'd like for me to. Why? Because it's an online Bible school. So until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. We love you now. We'll do it again tomorrow, God willing. Bye-bye, everyone.